Welcome to the Donor Project podcast, because infertility doesn't have to mean childless. I am Dr. Miranda Miles, the contemporary conceptionist, and I help women and men using donor eggs bring their baby home sooner. This is what happens when a women's health expert chooses to use donor eggs to create her unique family. Think about the Donor Project podcast as your go-to place for everything you need to know about using donor eggs to create your unique family. Because every woman deserves the opportunity to be a mum and every man a dad. Welcome to the Donor Project podcast. This is episode one, season one, and it's called Just the Five of Us. And I'm so excited to bring this to you. Today is my story as to how I used three different egg donors to create my two beautiful children. I am Dr. Miranda Miles, the contemporary conceptionist, and I want to inspire new approaches to fertility and conception so that it helps you to think outside the box to bring your baby home sooner. I am a passionate naturopath and acupuncturist, and my areas that I love working in are women's health, hormones, fertility. I'm also an author and a lecturer, and I am Australia's leading natural health expert in donor support, and I want to help women and men using donor eggs bring your baby home sooner. I have wanted to do this podcast for a very, very long time. And there are many reasons for that. Firstly, I have been there. I have walked in the infertility shoes. And looking back, Charlie is now six. And looking back, I now realize absolutely how little I knew at the time that I embarked on this journey and how much I have learned and how much I now know. And I just want to share that information with you so that you are armed with fertility choices and you know the possibilities for you to become pregnant and have your babies beyond the diagnosis of infertility. There are other options, and it's about helping you to expand those thoughts and be okay with creating your children in a different way. I basically fumbled my way through as I was navigating these uncharted waters, and I found that it was really difficult to get the right directions or the right advice from people that have never walked this road. And that's why I thought I need to share the road that I have walked to help you make the decisions that you need. I want the information that I'm giving you to be impartial and to really empower you, as I said, with those fertility choices so that you can make the right decisions for you. One thing I really, really want to say here is just because your eggs don't work doesn't mean you are infertile or can't have children. My eggs didn't work. My eggs were completely scrambled, but I was able to carry two beautiful children and have my family. I also, part of the mission of the Donor Project podcast is to help you prepare mind and body for your donor conception. Just because you're using 20-something-year-old eggs doesn't mean that A, it will work, or B, prepare you for pregnancy. So the other part of the Donor Project is to help prepare you for everything that it entails. I just wanted to share with you also a couple of really funny facts, or kind of important facts. The very, very first, the world's very first birth from donor eggs occurred in 1984 and actually happened here in Melbourne through Monash IVF. So Melbourne's kind of leading the way. And I think it's quite astounding to know that it's been around since 1984. There are on average, between 2017 and 2018, 3,919 live-born babies were born via donor eggs in Victoria alone. And that was 5% up on the year before. So there, it really is becoming a little bit more, common's not the right word, a little bit more normalised. And I think that is absolutely fantastic. So I want to share with you my story. I was one in six. I was one in six of the people diagnosed with unexplained infertility. And this happened when I was 39. I'd been trying naturally for years. I'd been off contraception for years. I'd never had an accidental pregnancy or anything that even resembled anything like a pregnancy. But to be put in the category of unexplained infertility was just horrendous. It is the most horrendous words anybody can hear. And for me, I really don't like this term. It's funny, my dad, like I find it so final. This term is just so end of the road and so final. But my dad, he was really funny. He used to say that unexplained infertility didn't exist. Sterility, yes, but unexplained infertility, he said that was just lazy medicine. That was the reason for the woman not being able to conceive just hadn't been discovered yet. That was what my dad used to always say. And I think that gives such beautiful hope to think, okay, it might be unexplained at this point, but we just haven't figured out yet why somebody hasn't been able to get pregnant. So for me, I sort of thought long and hard about that. Why is it that I'm not conceiving? Was it simply my age? Were my eggs too scrambled? Was I being punished for some past indiscrepancy? Did I not deserve to be pregnant? Was it poor ovarian reserve? Like, what was it? And I took a long time trying to figure it out. Then I wondered if it was actually my destiny, because when I was, and I hadn't remembered this story for a long, long time. When I was about 14, I was reading one of my sister's Dolly magazines, as you do, and there was an article in there about a woman's inability or difficulty to conceive. And as I was reading it, this wave of panic washed over me, and I sat there very, very still, and it just went through every cell in my body. Oh my goodness, that is going to be me. Now, I was only 14. I had no idea about fertility or what any of this stuff even was, but it was just this wave of panic. So when I remembered that story, I thought, well, was this my destiny? Was this my fate? Was this my journey I was supposed to be traveling so that I can help other women? And I kind of like to think about it as that, that I was always meant to be doing this. And when you see my two children, I wouldn't have it any other way. So I did try for years naturally. And then at 39, I decided to try IVF. Now that was a big step for me as a naturopath, sitting there thinking who was helping all these other women to get pregnant, and suddenly I couldn't do it for myself. So I embarked on IVF, and long story short, I went through three different egg collections and transfers. My first egg collection, I only had two eggs that survived. They both fertilized. One developed to blastocyst. We transferred it and no response. I went through another anesthetic, another egg collection, same thing, two eggs, one embryo developed to blastocyst, implanted, transferred, nothing happened. Then we did the third round of IVF and same. It was always the same result. And because I was only getting two embryos each time, I had to go through an anesthetic each time, and it was really starting to take its toll after sort of three consecutive months of doing this. I found that I was starting to get very, very anxious and very, very overwhelmed with thoughts of, will this ever work? And anyone who has ever done IVF knows that it's stressful anyway, with the appointments, the scans, the drugs, the acupuncture, the pills, the potions, just everything that you're doing to try to achieve a pregnancy. And it's the trying. The trying is oh so trying. And at the same time, I was trying to manage my own expectations. And for me, it was, this is not how it's supposed to be. I work in this industry. I should be able to get myself pregnant. And again, will this ever, ever work for me? And then at the same time, I was getting everybody else pregnant clinically in my clinic, you know, patient after patient that was having difficulty, we were managing to achieve pregnancy. And then I was also managing everybody else's expectations. You know, stop trying so hard and I'm sure you'll get pregnant, or stop IVF now, I'm sure you'll fall naturally like so-and-so did. And all of those sort of comments were starting to happen now as well. So I found I was kind of shutting down a little bit and trying not to talk about it very much with too many people. Then I just felt like I couldn't keep going down this path. And really, in my heart of hearts, I had this feeling that it was never going to work that way. And so for me, being quoted an 8% chance of success at 40 using my own eggs, compared with a 50 to 75% chance of conceiving using donor eggs, it was kind of a no-brainer. So for me, it was both an emotional and a statistical decision. I so desperately wanted to be a mum and feel that unconditional love and just know the love that I'd never known before. I really, really wanted that. But also statistically, it made a lot of sense. That doesn't mean that it was an easy decision. It was the right decision, and it always felt like the right decision once I made it, but it didn't necessarily mean that it was easy. I had to realize that the question of DNA was going to raise its head. You know, the question of, if I use somebody else's eggs, then my children aren't going to have my eyes. They're not going to look like me. They're not going to have my DNA. But what I decided was really, really important at that point was I had to grieve the loss of my DNA, that my DNA would ultimately die with me. I had to accept that. And once I accepted that, it was much easier to just get on with it. What I realized was that it takes so, so much more than DNA to create a family. And at the end of the day, by using donor eggs, what I was getting from the donor was just one little cell. And that one little cell does not make a baby. Okay. You need blood. You need essence. So in Chinese medicine, we call it jing. You need jing and essence to actually help that cell become a baby. So of course it was my blood. It was my soul, my essence that went into making my children. And they are the only beings that have ever heard my heartbeat from the inside. So I think it's really, really important that when you're going through an egg donor process, to understand that all you're receiving is one tiny cell, and that one tiny cell does not make a baby. There are many, many more ingredients that are required for a baby to come out the other end. So I was 40, yeah, 40, 41 at this stage. And so we started to embark on finding an egg donor. We started in Australia and very, very quickly we found many, many barriers to that. Just to give you a bit of an idea, most of the major IVF clinics in Australia will have egg donor programs, but they are limited by very few donors and very long waiting lists. So often it's about asking a sister or a cousin or a close family friend or a colleague, or finding your egg donor yourself some way. There are ways that you can advertise. So there are many different Facebook groups and websites that you can advertise to try to find a local donor. But again, it's limited by numbers and very, very long waiting lists. Plus in Victoria, we do have an added problem in that the Human Tissue Act of 1982 says that we cannot advertise for an egg donor without our ad first being approved by the health minister. So there's just all these little barriers as to how you go about finding an egg donor. I replied to a couple of different ads on a couple of different websites and held out hope every single time. However, every single time we were, I don't want to say rejected, but basically the egg donor gets to choose you as well. So you can put your expression of interest forward, but the donor chooses you in Australia. When we put our expressions of interest in, we missed the boat every time. They'd already donated to somebody else, or they had changed their mind, or they weren't donating anymore. So again, 6 months down the track, I started to become very, very disillusioned by that process as well. Some of the problems with egg donation in Australia is that donors cannot be paid for making their donation. Okay, so the donors do not receive any extra payment. The intending parents or the recipients, so me, we pay for the IVF procedure that the donor would go through. So we pay for all of the medical expenses, all of the appointments. We pay for any reasonable out-of-pocket expenses as well, including travel or time off work or babysitting or parking. Anything is paid for by the intending parent or the recipient. However, there's no cream on top. And the reality is, to be a donor, it's an enormous commitment. There can be over 20 hours of medical procedures over 4, 5, 6 months. The donor has to go through the invasive IVF egg collection, the drugs, the scans, the appointments. So it really can be such a big effort from a donor, and they do really have to be truly altruistic because they don't get paid anything extra for the service that they provide. And there are beautiful, beautiful women who will do this, but it's not, you don't have a massive pool of potential donors to choose from. So I will talk much more about that in later episodes, the difference between local donors or international and the difference between anonymous versus non-donors. But if you want to find out a little bit more information now, if you jump on my website, www.mirandamiles.com.au, I do have a free downloadable e-guide, which is the 5 things you need to know about using donor eggs. And I do talk a lot about the differences between local donors or going overseas using an international group. So again, we were 6 months down the track, and again, I was getting very disillusioned. So I made the decision to go overseas. And we went to Thailand. Now, since I did my first donor process 7 years ago now in Thailand has since closed its borders. But I will talk about I do want to talk about, share my story of what happened in Thailand. So basically we chose, I made contact. I had found out about this group that was headed by a beautiful Australian woman, and they were working out of Thailand. And the process was that we would travel to Bangkok, the donors would travel to Bangkok, and we wanted to do a fresh embryo transfer. Now, how we chose the donor was I made contact with this company, and before I knew it, within a week, I had 52 different donor profiles sitting in front of me. After 6 months of trying to find a donor in Australia, and to go from that to go then to having 52 donors to choose from. I will say it was a little bit bewildering. It was a lot of choice and a bit overwhelming. They don't do that anymore. Now you get a choice of about 4 or 5 donors based on your preferences, hair color, height, weight, eye color, that sort of the interests, education, that sort of thing. But here I was sitting at my dining room table with 52 different profiles sitting in front of me. And I remember going through them. What we did was I gave one lot of the 52 donors to Jeff, and I took 52 of them, and we both sat there and chose our top 5. And we then compared to see if we chose any that were the same. I absolutely remember going through those profiles, and I didn't need to choose 5. I found her. I looked into her eyes and I just found her. She jumped out at me on the page. We do know her name. Her name was Daniela, and she was from South Africa, and she became our donor. So we traveled to Thailand. Daniela and the traveling donors traveled to Thailand. And funnily enough, when you do donor overseas, you can have it as an anonymous process. Very, very funny story is that we happened to be staying in the same hotel as the donors that were coming from South Africa. The hotel was very, very close to the IVF clinic, and we suddenly heard all these South African voices and young 20-something year old women, and we figured that yes, our donor was in our hotel somewhere. So again, it was supposed to be an anonymous process, but we asked the coordinators, we requested whether if we could meet Daniela, and we were allowed to, which was fantastic. And it was just for maybe 5 minutes. We had a brief meeting with her and a cuddle and a bit of a cry. And what we realized was that the money we were paying to have as our donor, yes, paid for all the medical expenses, but she did get paid a little bit extra on top. And what we paid helped her to go through her first year of university. And what I got out of it was that one little cell I needed to create my family. So it was a business transaction, and everybody was really, really comfortable with that. And her words to me was, "These are your babies." So it kind of meant the world to me to hear that from the donor. Anyway, so we got 5 embryos from Daniela. We did a fresh cycle. We put 2 embryos in, and bam, first time I was pregnant with Charlie. We then had 3 embryos left that were then frozen. We used all of those 3 embryos. Unfortunately, we didn't have any more success for our second child. I realized though, after that I still wasn't done. I still wanted a second child. By this stage, Thailand had closed its borders to any new donor processes, and the group that I had been using moved to Penang. We chose another donor. She was a beautiful donor from Ukraine. And unfortunately, we didn't have a very good response this second time around. She didn't respond very well to the drugs. We didn't wind up with very many eggs from her. Now, this is, I don't want this to sound crude or too businesslike, but just to give you the facts, we basically purchased 12 eggs, a package of 12 eggs from this donor, and we were guaranteed 12 mature eggs, but we only wound up with 3, unfortunately. And this happens. I mean, the donor is a human being. We have, as women, we have bad cycles every month. We can have bad cycles, a couple of times a year. You know, we might have 3 cycles where we don't ovulate, so we don't get very many eggs. Unfortunately, she didn't have a great response to the drugs. We had the 3 eggs. We did use all 3. They did all turn into embryos. We did use all 3 on 3 separate occasions, and that was in June, October, and December in 2017. But unfortunately, all were unsuccessful. Now, I do want to make a point here that this is where it's really, really, really important to, this is the importance of choosing the right clinic. And again, I will talk in detail about this in another episode and how to choose the right clinic. For me, this was a boutique clinic that I was using. And what they basically did is, once we'd used our second donor, I realized I still wasn't done. I still wanted to have a second child. We chose a third donor. And what this beautiful clinic did is, again, they only needed to provide me with another 9 eggs to fulfill the 12 that I had purchased, but they actually gave me all 15 from the third donor, which was just the most beautiful thing. And they didn't have to do that, but they did, because they are a beautiful ethical clinic. I wasn't just a number, I was a human being, and they really wanted me to be successful in having my second child. So we wound up with another 15 eggs, 9 fertilized, and we put 2 in, and of course we wound up with Matilda. I want to tell you another little beautiful story here about When you're using donor eggs. The only difference between a donor egg conception and any other pregnancy is how you've gone about getting pregnant, right? There are still complications and there are still things that can go wrong. So we put in 2 embryos. Charlie was with us in Malaysia, of course, and we would go and do lots of spiritual work, asking the gods for our next baby. And when we found that I was pregnant this time around, Charlie said to me, he calls me Minda, he's always called me Minda. He said, "Minda, there are 2 babies in there. There's a brown baby and a pink baby." Now, unbeknown to Charlie, we had put in 2 embryos, and my HCG levels at sort of 3 weeks were really, really high. And my obstetrician said to me, "It's either a really strong pregnancy or there's twins." Okay, good on you, Charlie. So we weren't sure yet. We hadn't had a scan yet. We generally don't do scans, of course, until about 6 weeks. And at 5 weeks, I had a bleed. I was consulting, I was with a patient, and I suddenly started to bleed. I went straight around to my obstetrician. He did a scan and we found that there was just 1 baby in there. There wasn't 2. Anyway, I went home that night and Charlie said to me, he had absolutely no idea what had just happened. And he said to me, "Minda, there's only 1 baby in there now, and it's the pink one." So I guess, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say here that energetically, your children, no matter how they have come about, are so connected to you, because they are your soul, your blood, your essence, your spirit. But number 2 is that things can still happen in donor egg conceptions. And that's why it's really, really important to keep preparing and be prepared for every possible scenario. And again, I will talk a lot about that in subsequent episodes, about choosing the right clinic, I mean. All right, so there we have it, pregnant with Matilda, who is now two. I now still have 7 embryos in Penang as we speak. Unfortunately, I can't get them at the moment because of COVID. I would have gone last March 2020, but of course that's when it all shut down. So I do still have 7 embryos in Penang at 48, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But I just want to summarize for you. In total, I went through 8 years of trying to conceive, 3 rounds of IVF using my own eggs, my own poor old scrambled eggs, 3 egg donor angels, 6 rounds of donor egg IVF, 16 embryos, 3 trips to Thailand, 4 trips to Malaysia, blood, sweat and tears, magic baby dust, and yep, just a little bit of money. It's really, really funny because I remember a conversation that I was having with my sisters when I was about 20. Little Miss Naturopath over here was so, so outspoken about, nope, if you can't get pregnant naturally, and then don't do IVF because that's messing with the way things are supposed to be. Perhaps you're not supposed to have baby. Oh my goodness. How little did I know as a 20, I don't know, I must've been 25, 26, 27. And the reason I thought all of that back then was because to me, it wasn't natural. It wasn't natural to do IVF. It was an unnatural process. It was over medicalized. It was over medicated. It was scans and appointments and all of this stuff that is not the right way. It's not how it's supposed to be to bring a baby into the world. Oh, how differently I think now, how wrong I was as a 20-something year old girl. What I've realized was I was creating my own natural. This is my natural. This is my normal. This is how I went about creating my family, and it has become my normal and my natural. The other thing was that whilst I was 46 with Matilda, I obviously looked like I was 46 because I would get questioned, was it natural? Did you conceive naturally? And what I realized was people were simply asking me if I had sex to get pregnant. And quite frankly, that's none of anybody's business. So how I conceived my children was my natural. So yes, they were natural, as medicated as it was, as medicalized as it was. It was absolutely my natural way, my normal, to have my children. And I'm here to tell you that the conception is the only thing that's different. Everything else about a pregnancy and everything else about having children is just like any other pregnancy. So if you are considering using donor eggs, you're not sure, please keep following. I'd love you to share and like and subscribe to the podcast. I will do many, many episodes that will talk about who is egg donation for, how does it all work, how do you find a donor, how you choose a clinic, to tell or not to tell, you know, finding your tribe of people that you want to speak to. I will talk about known versus anonymous egg donorship. I'll talk about local versus international. And we will also dive into how to get you ready, mind and body. We will also talk about the importance of the sperm as well, because it's not just about using 20-something year old eggs. You don't want to be mixing crappy old sperm in with those beautiful young eggs. You want to make sure that there's no male factor problems as well. So there'll be many, many episodes. Please like, please share. I'd love it if you did. Jump on my website and download my free e-guide on the 5 things you need to know about donor eggs. And I'd love you to follow me. You can find me at Dr. Miranda Miles on Facebook and Instagram and Clubhouse. You can also find me at The Donor Project on Facebook and Instagram, or jump on my website. I look forward to sharing more with you.